The 2014 killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri was the catalyst for a national conversation about race, policing, and injustice. The subsequent killings of other black, often unarmed citizens led to a surge of media coverage, which in turn led to protests and clashes between the police and local residents that were reminiscent of the unrest of the 1960s. Clarence Taylor's new book, Fight the Power, examines the history of police brutality in New York City and the black community's long struggle to resist it. Taylor challenges the belief that police reform is born out of improved relations between communities and the authorities, arguing that the only real solution is radically reducing the police domination of New York's black citizens. Clarence Taylor is Professor Emeritus of History at Baruch College, CUNY, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What got you to want to look at this history, and specifically the history in New York City?
Well, I'm a historian, and my focus has been New York City. But I actually had no inkling that I was going to write this book. I guess a few years before I wrote the book, I appeared on a panel at the Museum of the City of New York, and it was honoring John Lindsay, at least examining his legacy. And one of the areas that came up was his relationship, poor relationship with the New York City police. And there was someone there who blamed Lindsay for that poor relationship. And I jumped in and said, well, no, not really. I said, we should need to talk about what the police did and how they fought Lindsay when he attempted to create a civilian complaint review board. So it was at that moment I decided, you know, a lot of people don't know this history. Maybe I should focus on it.
It seems in the book that you really want to make the point that significant strides have been made in curbing police power in the city.
Yeah, well, I want people to understand it's a long history. It didn't just begin a few years ago in Ferguson. It didn't begin when people had cell phones and they began to record it. Instead, this is a history that's been, of this police brutality struggle. It's one of the oldest civil rights issues facing African Americans, in particular in places like New York City. And what I think is the important part of my book is that it's not that you just have police brutality, but that people have organized to take on police brutality. And that is a long history.
It is a long history. You seem to start your story in the 1940s, though.
Yes, I do. And the reason I started in the 1940s is because of the dramatic growth of black New York. Communities such as Harlem and Bedford-Stuyvesant in Brooklyn increased dramatically thanks to migration from the South, also migration from the Caribbean. And it's at this point where you really see the fierce organization of many groups taking on police brutality. And that's what my book really focuses on, the various groups that take it on. Groups we have no idea were involved in the struggle against police brutality, such as the black press. You know, we know about the lawyers, we know about the civil rights organizations, but what about the black press? The black press played a major role in challenging police abuse citizens. And in particular, I focus on a little-known black newspaper, The People's Voice, organized by the Reverend Adam Clayton Powell, Jr.
Let us talk, because I also want to get to the importance of the black church in this as well, but give us an example of the input from the black press.
Well, before cell phones capturing police brutality, that was the role of the black press. It did not only just report on the issues, in many cases, such as the People's Voice, they became advocates of the victims of police brutality. They always challenged the police narrative of events. They attempted to keep the story alive when someone was brutalized or killed by the police. The black press even went to great lengths in getting eyewitnesses to talk to the public about what happened. In some cases, they organized rallies in support of victims of police brutality. They also suggested solutions to taking on police brutality. So the groups that I cover in this book do not just advocate police reform. They say this is a problem of power, that police have overwhelming power over black citizens, and the only way we're going to address this problem is to reduce the power of the police and enhance the power of ordinary citizens when it comes to taking on police brutality.
The black church has an enormous role as well, by just as way of being a large part of the black community, right?
Yes, yes. I just mentioned the Reverend Adam Clayton Powell, Jr., who was the pastor of Abyssinian Baptist Church, probably the largest black church in the country. But there were other black churches and black ministers that were in the struggle against police brutality. Black ministers were, and black pastors were, in a unique position. They were leaders of the community. They were independent of white power. They could rely on the community itself for their existence. And therefore, black ministers were quite vocal about police brutality. I mentioned the Reverend Harding, a preacher in the 1920s and 1930s in Brooklyn, who organized massive rallies against police brutality, where thousands of people appeared at City Hall demanding that government take action against police abuse. So, yeah, so black ministers and black churches were, of course, pivotal in this struggle.
And in the time we have left, I mean, you challenge the belief that police reform is born out of improved relations between communities and the authorities. What is the role in those discussions, though?
Reform is extremely important, but the type of reform that has been advocated by city officials, by the police department themselves, always sort of top-down reforms. Diversity training is a perfect example. Some leaders have advocated, you know, increasing the number of black police officers. These are using the latest one, of course, using body cameras. These reforms have not worked. And the major reason they haven't worked, because they really don't look at the fundamental cause of the problem, overwhelming power that the police have over over citizens. And it isn't until citizens have control of police departments, community control of policing, that's when we're going to really talk about eliminating police dominance and police brutality. So, that is going to be a hard struggle. There's no doubt about that. But we can keep going down this line of diversity training, even adding civilian complaint boards that are really more investigative bodies and that give suggestions without any real power. But this problem will continue. And what I mean community control is quite different from what I mean by community policing. That's two different things, right?
Right. Yeah. The name of the book is Fight the Power, African Americans and the Long History of Police Brutality in New York City. It is published by NYU Press. Clarence Taylor, a great pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you very much for spending your time with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book, Fight the Power. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.